It's everybody's favorite time on a Sunday, Nevada Backcountry, only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Dave, we got a little bit of housekeeping to get to. Let's see. There was just a commission meeting. Yep. Oh, wait. I always do this. I screw this up.
You always do this.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter. Hopefully you guys find all the eggs.
Do you want me to tell you my He Is Risen story? And no offense, I don't want to offend anybody, but I got a great coming back from the dead story.
All right.
Sitting down there, Carson Valley, goose hunting. I smashed a goose at like 30, 35 yards, 12 gauge, 3-inch shell, you know, whole nine yards. Crushed this bird. Thing death spirals out of the air. Fallen to the ground, no kidding, about 4 feet off the ground, comes back to life and flies away. He is risen.
Get out of here.
There we go. All right. Hopefully that didn't offend anybody on Easter.
Interesting.
Dave, it was the craziest. I mean, I've seen animals wounded and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
This was the craziest, like, back from the dead thing. You know how they kind of, like, crumple?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They just, like, fold up and just drop. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and I got witnesses to this. My dad and my brother, and I think even Cynthia, we're all in layout blinds. Yeah, this thing just came back to life like 4 feet off the ground. And I mean, like, healthy back to life, not like a cripple.
I wonder if you just full on missed it and just the percussion just knocked it out.
Something, I have no idea.
But I can't see Henry missing.
I did on that one. Yeah, I didn't hit what I was supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there you go.
Wow.
Anyway, no offense intended, folks, but that goose, he rose from the dead and flew off.
Flew off.
Went for greener pastures. So anyway, happy Easter, everybody. Now, commission meeting just happened.
Yeah, the commission meeting just happened. Haven't seen any notes or anything on the discussions.
Okay.
I don't think anything was voted on or decided on. A lot of workshop stuff on this last one. This next one's going to be the meat and potatoes one, the one that everyone's waiting for.
Yes, yes.
The quotas.
Oh, and that's the first week of May, right?
Yeah, that's okay. The first week. I think it's May 7th and 8th, and it's here in Reno. And it's going to be a big one.
And that's the one I am going to be presenting at.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to be presenting your material. This is something we've talked about on the show a bunch, but it's the let-off, getting rid of the let-off regulation.
Yeah, exactly. From the archery regulation, just removing the let-off of no greater than 80%. Just getting rid of it, because as we all know, it's not enforceable.
Pointless.
Just pointless, yeah.
Absolutely pointless. Yeah, get it off the books.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with lethality of the bow or the shooter or anything. It's just some arbitrary regulation that pretty much there's only four states that still have it on their books.
Yeah.
And Montana, their Department of Wildlife proposed to remove it, and the traditional archers stood up and said, that's not fair, you know, that's not cool. So they voted it down, which I completely disagree with, because now they are basing something off of nostalgia.
Yeah.
And not off of science and conservation.
I've made the point on the show. If you want a more ethical kill with archery equipment, why would you not want it easier to hold on that back wall at 90% let off?
Right. And the other argument is there's nothing saying that these traditional archers can't shoot a compound bow. That's their choice to shoot a traditional. 100%. It's just ridiculous that because they shoot traditional, they're forcing everybody else to follow these regulations that are useless.
I agree. Yeah. And I will say that's, unfortunately, we've talked about it. Yeah. I spent one season hunting with a recurve, killed a mule deer, a buck with it.
Yeah,
but
it's tough.
It's tough. But here's the thing that I didn't like when I went down that rabbit hole, Dave. I didn't like traditional archers.
Oh.
It was almost like fly fishermen.
Yeah, it is.
They're their own worst enemies.
They can be. Yeah, they can be like the high school cheerleaders for sure.
It was like I got looked at sideways because I was wearing head-to-toe Sitka and shooting a
Satori.
No. I killed that deer with a, I don't know, it was a one-piece wooden deal. I didn't have my Satori yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I got looked at sideways because I wasn't wearing a fedora and wool pants
and an anorak
or something to do it in.
Yeah, cedar arrows with homemade like turkey feather.
Exactly.
Fletchings.
I was just like, you guys are the worst.
I respect those guys. I think it's fantastic that they hunt like that. That's great. That's their choice.
Yeah.
They should not then get involved in the regulations for compound bows.
Bingo. So, do what you want to do. That's cool. But don't put your weird, contrived, whatever on me. I'm going to hunt the way I want to hunt.
Yeah. So you Montana's bringing it back up because they want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And then there's just us and South Dakota, us and Idaho.
Yeah, Idaho.
Are the only ones left.
Yeah, get rid of it.
Yeah, so anyway, that's the stuff. But
and that will be May 7th and 8th, and that's here in Reno. So like I said, I'm going to be presenting. We'll go over that, try to make it short and sweet. And you guys, for those of you that have listened to the show long enough, you know exactly where Dave and I come down on that. We kind of did the Cliff's Notes there for a minute. What other? It's turkey season just opened.
Yes, it is. Did you put in for Nevada?
No, I put in for Nevada because I just go across the border.
Yeah, I don't either. The four turkeys that I've shot in Nevada, it's just they don't act like your traditional turkeys. You calling them in, good luck. I mean, they're not interested. No, and I don't know if I just suck at it or what, but you set up, and if those birds, when they come out of that tree, say at Mason Valley, because that's where I've shot mine before, once they come out of the tree, if they're not working their way to you, hunt's over.
Yeah.
Because they get in that thick cover, they don't come out, and they're not interested, and calling is futile.
What do we have here? Rios? Miriams?
Miriams.
Miriams. Okay. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I have not hunted Nevada turkeys. I'm spoiled. I get the veteran license, hunting license over in California, and it's $28.75, I believe. Call it $30, and I can kill three birds in the spring and three birds in the fall.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
No, that for me, and I mean, most of the good or what I would consider good turkey hunting is up this part of the state in California.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So I'm kind of like, man, why am I going to do this Nevada thing when I can just do it over the counter in California?
Yeah, I quit putting in 4 years ago.
Yeah.
After the last time I hunted it, it was just brutal.
It's like the bear thing for me almost. I got points for bear. I usually buy a bonus point in Nevada because I do think it'd be cool to get a Nevada bear.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, I'm like, man, I'm surrounded by over-the-counter bear states.
Oh, my God. Oregon. So, non-resident. What is the tag? $20 for a non-resident? It's
cheap. Dirt cheap.
Stupid cheap.
Idaho's the same way. $30.
Yeah. Idaho's another one. So it is turkey season, and it's going to be a good one, I hope.
It opened, last weekend in California. So
last weekend.
That's coming. Let's see. End of the first segment here. Oh, I'll tease a little bit about what we're going to do. And this was fun.
Yeah, it was actually a fun little exercise.
We thought it would be fun to do a $2,000 challenge. Basically, outfit yourself. Let's say you're a new hunter out there. Basically, everything you would need to hunt for a season, and we included applying, buying your hunting license, all that in the $2,000. The only
we did not include like your clothing, and your camping gear. You probably already have that stuff from other activities and everything. This is strictly like if you want to get into rifle hunting or if you want to get into bow hunting.
You took the bow stuff. I did the rifle.
You took the rifle. So that's what we're going to see how close we got to our budgets.
Yeah, I know for a fact. I left a little bit of wiggle room in mine. But the camping and clothing thing, let's be real. Like my granddad's generation, jeans and a flannel shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, More animals have probably died staring at Buffalo Check flannel shirts than any other camo pattern.
Man, Chuck Adams is a perfect example. He's killed everything wearing jeans and a red flannel shirt.
And on the shoe thing, because I always talk a lot about boots are so important.
Yeah.
Well, they are. I've forgotten boots. I've hunted in Crocs. I've forgot boots, and I've hunted in those Chaco hippie sandals.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. I
that's so weird. You can do it. It can be done. You do not need specialized footwear. Yeah.
Just don't plan on hiking really far in Crocs.
Nah, they kind of suck for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you will be a wreck.
Anyway, we left the boots and the clothes off because, man, a pair of Levi's, a flannel shirt, and some sandals, and you can get it done.
You can get it done.
It's not going to be super fun, but you can get it done. Do not go anywhere. We are doing our $2,000 challenge hunting episode. Keep those dials tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Welcome Welcome back to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Thank you to our show sponsors, Shooting Performance Institute, Rightful Liberty Arms, and Battle Born Tree Service. All right, so we are going to dive into our $2,000 challenge. And basically, the rules of this were, you have to be able to find an animal, kill an animal, apply for the tag, buy your license, that sort of stuff. Like we mentioned, no clothes, no footwear, none of that stuff on here. Dave, you did the archery stuff.
I did. Let's go
archery first.
Okay.
Talk me through what I'm killing something with.
All right. So I kind of went in two directions because with beauty with archery is there are package deals. So for a $2,000 budget, the smartest way to go is to buy a package bow that already includes like some pretty decent starting accessories that you can upgrade certain components if you feel you need to.
And well, they call those like a RTS or an RT. Some are ready to shoot RTSs.
Yeah, ready to shoot bows. You buy them in a package deal and they're ready to rock and roll. And then you can use that extra funds to buy the higher quality arrows, because arrows and broadheads are going to be huge.
Way important.
You know, these RTS bows, these ready-to-shoot bows, would outperform any flagship bow if they've got great arrows and their flagship bow is shooting like Timu stuff.
The cheapy, yeah.
You know, like a dozen of arrows for $12.99 type of thing.
The ones you usually see in the single, sold as singles in the cardboard display.
In the display, right. So some of the best package deals would be the PSC Stinger ATK. That's a bow setup that's about $500, and that allows you a little bit of extra money to possibly upgrade your rest.
Okay.
And because a lot of these will come with like the whisker biscuit.
Oh, right.
And upgrade your sight if you want. The next one is obviously the one that's probably really, really popular is the Diamond Edge Max.
Oh, yeah. Diamond stuff. Yeah, they've.
My son shot his first deer with it because that's what we did. We bought the package that's $400, and we upgraded the rest and we upgraded the sight. Everything else we left, he shot his first buck with it.
That's what I think all my kids are shooting are diamond bows. Yeah, they make a phenomenal kind of mid-level, entry-level bow.
Oh, yeah. Then you get a little more expensive and you get into the Bear Archery Company. So they have two of them. One's called the Legit Max.
Okay.
Which is actually a pretty decent bow, and then the Surpass.
I got to be honest, I've never shot Bear stuff.
But yeah, they're both really good bows. They're in the $650 range, but they come with higher quality accessories.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
And then Elite Immerse comes with a package deal. That one's like $850, and it comes with some really, really nice accessories.
Because
Elite, you know, Outdoor Group also owns Scott. It
CBE.
Also owns CBE, yeah, so it comes with a CBE slider. So that's a really good one. But it's, you know, 800, which still leaves you $1,200.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So then I went into like, well, what about a really good, not flagship, because as we know, flagship bows are $1,400, $1,800, $2,200.
Oh, yeah.
What are some good bows that are just bare bows that then you can build yourself? And can you do it for under 2G? Plus getting tags and licenses.
Right.
There are two bows that came up. One of them I'm not going to really get into because it doesn't have a lot of tunability or adjustability. It's kind of like I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it. The one, though, is the Prime Ronin.
Yeah. You and I both shot that bow.
Yes.
And were shocked by it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not considered a flagship bow, but it performs like one.
If I had to start all over, Dave, I would buy one of those in a heartbeat.
Oh, heck yeah. So with that, Prime Ronin runs about $650 for the bare bow.
And they've got him at Hunting House.
You got him at Hunting House. Yeah, you got him. He's got all of these bows, actually. The other one's called the Bear Alaskan.
Okay.
And it's the XT version. It's pretty decent, but like I said, it doesn't have the tunability or the capability, I think.
The Ronin's a shooter.
And the Bear's more expensive.
Okay.
So I would go with
the Ronin.
With a QAD Ultra Rest Hunter, $70. The Bee Stinger Sport Hunting Extreme Stabilizer, $65.
Perfect.
Then I would go with a release. You can get a pretty decent release for right around $80 to $100. Your bow case is about another $100. $100 in there for a Chandler or a bow shop that knows what they're doing.
Yep.
To tune your bow, put in your peep, time it, paper tune it, the whole bit. The major, some of the two of the major things for hunting would be a dozen arrows.
Yeah.
$180, either the Easton Axis or the Rips, the RIPs.
Oh, yeah.
Great arrows, good price. And then broadheads, which you don't want to skimp. You don't want to get Timu broadheads or some weird China broadheads. Yeah. You want to stick with something like the Maxes or the Slick Tricks or the Naps.
Tricks are what, like $45 for four? And you get four of them.
Yeah, you get four. Yeah. So Slick Tricks would be the way to go. You start getting into expandables, and you're going to spend a lot more because you want to get a high-quality one that actually works.
Right.
A lot of the cheaper ones, they're garbage, so don't. And then, you know, you got your Nevada hunting license, and I figured like putting in for like three animals.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, antelope, deer, and elk.
Exact same thing I did, ones, yeah.
And that can range anywhere between like $250 and $350. So with those things I stated, my full package.
Well, that's only if you do everything though, because it's only about $10-$12 a species.
Right. Yeah, it starts if you pull the tag. I put it as if you pulled the tag.
And the tag. Yeah, 30 and for a mule deer, 60 for pronghorn, and 120 for elk. Yeah,
for elk. So, I laid that out. Oh, and I also threw in there a rangefinder because most people just don't have those sitting around. So a decent one that, you know, you probably upgrade in a couple years would be like the Vortec Crossfire, the HD 1400.
Okay.
So, and when you're going out looking for rangefinders, remember when it says 1400, that's not 1,400 yards. Yeah. You got to cut that in half.
Well, as a new archer, you need 60 max.
Yeah, you're fine. If
it's accurate out to 60 yards, your money.
Or if you've got like a golfing rangefinder, perfect. That'll use that. Work the same. But I put $180 in there for a rangefinder, and then I put another $180 in there for binoculars. And again, just your Vortec Crossfires or your Nikon HD, I think they're called like the X1Ts or something.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-range, good binocs until you can afford to step it up because, you know, as we all know, binocs are and spotting scopes. I didn't put spotting scopes in here.
No.
You're just starting out. Let's not get too stupid here.
Now, let me ask you, though, back up for a second. I didn't hear you with a sight for the bow.
So the sight.
When you were doing the Ronin.
Yeah, when I was doing the Ronin. So the sight that I chose for the Ronin was either the Trophy Ridge Volt 5 pin.
Okay.
Which is solid 5 pin.
Yep.
Or you could go to the CBE 3 pin slider.
Oh, gotcha.
And
okay.
Both of those sit in the $110 to $150 range.
Okay.
So those are that was the sight that I was kind of going for.
What's it bump up to if you go with like a Spot Hog grinder?
The Spot Hog, like the Fast Eddie double pin, like the slider or the grinder, those are running $300, $340.
Well, I guess I had either.
So that bumps me out of my $2,000.
Yeah.
Because right now I'm sitting at 1971.
I had the Spot Hog, I think it was the grinder, the fixed five pin thing.
That's the grinder.
Oh, I beat the hell out of that thing and it was great, but I don't know. Maybe I spent a little more than I thought. I thought back in the day those were right around that $200 mark, but I could be wrong about
that.
But I put
the Trophy Ridge one I liked better than the grinder.
Okay.
Five pin wise.
And it's a fixed five?
And it's a fixed five pin.
Okay.
It had a little bit better adjustability, I thought, and easier to work with for a new hunter.
Oh, yeah. The Spot Hogs are finicky. Yeah,
they can be really finicky. And the Trophy Ridge one came with multiple sizes for pins.
Oh,
The grinder just came, they all were 0.29s. So after all that was said and done, like I said, came out to $1,971. So you got $29 to either upgrade something.
Yeah.
And if I was to upgrade anything, I would probably put it towards better arrows and better broadheads.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, maybe some brass inserts for the arrows
like
or
some
something.
Iron wheels.
Yeah.
Jump up or move up to the fancier Slick Tricks or something.
Yeah.
If you get broadheads that are cheaply made, you're not going to be able to tune them to.
You're going to have a horrible experience.
Horrible experience. So
You would take all of that and hunt with it right now?
I would. Oh, without a doubt. If I had the prime Ronin and I built it the way that I just stated there, I'd hunt with that all day long.
There is an archery setup under $2,000. What'd you say, Dave? 1971?
Yep, $1,971 minus tax.
Minus? Yeah, so, I didn't include tax.
I didn't either, so...
We blow it a little bit.
Yeah, we may be a little over, but you know what? You got change in your pocket.
All right. Do not go anywhere. Our $2,000 challenge for a rifle or a gun hunt is coming up next. Welcome back to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. If you missed last segment, Dave went through his $2,000 challenge, getting a bow set up, ready to go kill stuff. You can always go to the website, 991fmtalk.com, click on the podcast tab, and you can re-listen to everything there. We're also available on Apple Podcasts. Without further ado, I'm going to jump into my rifle setup, which I got to be honest, man, rifle was pretty easy. And here's what I'll preface all of this with. Everything I'm about to list off is something that I have either owned or used, and that's why I went with it. And if there's some on here that are kind of like out there or whatever, I'll explain why I chose them. So the one thing I screwed up that we talked about over the break, I did not include drawing the tag.
Oh,
in my numbers.
You just did putting in for the
just tag. Putting in. So, and that was oversight on my part. I was so excited, like, oh yeah, I remember when I had this. I wonder what those cost. This would be great. And it was fun for me because some of this is stuff that legitimately going back to those days of like sleeping in the back of my truck with like an army poncho and a poncho liner, you know, that was
7 pounds of beef jerky.
Yeah. And like just hunting. It's like, oh, I'm just out here knocking around. I hope I kill something.
Right.
This is cool. Anyway, I will start with the license for a resident, $75. Application I had at 42, putting in for muley, pronghorn, and elk.
And the predator fee.
And the predator, whatever that like. So that got me to a total of $117 just to put in. Now, I did not include the 30 if you draw a mule deer, 60 if you draw a pronghorn, or 120 if you draw elk. So that little bit of oversight on my part. Next, I went with, and trust me, it's not because I used to work there. It's not because they were a show sponsor. I went with a Howa 1500, just a standard Howa Hogue. I found them for $524.
Oh, wow.
So where the Howa gets dinged, I see the Ruger American a lot. I see there's a handful in
Savage
in that price point. Here's why I would go with a Howa. They are always rated the highest for accuracy.
Yeah.
So here's the knocks against them. They're heavy. The stock kind of flexes. Take that for what you will. But even in the reviews where they wound up at like, you know, middle pack, they were always up near the top for accuracy.
Yeah.
So I go with Howa 1500. I found it, no exaggeration, today online, I found it for $524 in either a 6.5 Creedmoor, a 308, or a 270.
308.
I was about to say, if you are a brand new hunter, you're adverse to recoil, 6.5. If you're a little more experienced, 308 or 270. If elk is going to be the thing, 308 all day. It'll cover all of your bases. I think if I had to do it all over again, I might go with a 308, but I've killed a lot of stuff with a 270.
Yeah. And well, that was the caliber to have.
Jack O'Connor.
Back in the 80s and 90s.
270 Winchester.
Everybody, yep. 270.
Here's what I like about it versus a 308. The 270, if you zero that thing 2.5 inches high at 100 with, take like in your 130-ish to like 140-ish grain bullets, it's only going to be about 5 inches low at 300.
Oh,
so
wow.
Out to 300, you don't need like a to the yard accuracy. Like if you train yourself to know like, hey, that's 300 and in, you could get away without even a rangefinder as far as like, okay, it's either going to be just below his back or it's going to be dead nut center and I'm killing an animal out to 300 yards.
Oh, wow.
So that's why the 270 is great. Anyway, so choose one of those three calibers. Then an SWFA, they call them the super sniper, which is super cheesy, but scope, a fixed 6x42.
6x42, okay.
That was the, now a fixed 6 back in the day was the Western hunting scope.
Yeah.
Fix Six, there's not a lot that can go wrong, and I would personally vouch for a non-variable power scope. It's more stuff to go wrong. And for those of you, you know, that are on forums or whatever, check out the Rockslide torture test when it comes to scopes. This scope and Night Force, and I believe there's one other, I forget who it is, are about the only scopes that pass the test as far as repeatable accuracy, even if you click stuff or move stuff.
Okay.
I personally have had top of the line Vortex fail on me. I've had Leupolds fail on me, and not cheap stuff either, like VX5 stuff fail on me. So if I'm doing budget, I'm going SWFA Super Sniper 6x42, $350. DNZ Game Reaper mount. So you don't need to buy a base or rings. It's a one-piece mount. I've used them before. They're bulletproof. They're great. $86. And a box, 80 rounds of Hornady Precision Hunter ELDX for $160. Total thus far is $1,237. I think 80 rounds is more than enough. If you go out and you are intentional about your practice, you break in your gun, you try standing, you shoot offhand, save 15 rounds for the season. If that, 10. Yeah,
10.
10 for the season.
Yeah.
I think 70 rounds will get you where you need to be if you're a new hunter and you're intentional about your practice.
Right.
So, next up, optics. Vortex Diamondback HDs 12x50s. I've looked through these. I've used those binos. They're fine. I went with a 12 power because I wanted to save money on a spotting scope.
Yeah, and I've got the new binoculars I just picked up are 12x52 or something. Yeah.
I use a 12 power bino.
Yeah.
I think it's great for Nevada.
Yeah, I agree.
I know guys that are like, man, I find everything with an 8. I find everything with a 10.
That's awesome.
That's great.
That's great.
If you're a brand new hunter and you're maybe not used to looking at far off hillsides and picking apart detail,
yeah,
I think a 12x50 bino will get you where you need to be as far as being able to find stuff. And those Vortex are $280. It's not going to break the bank. And yeah, for those of you that have had bad experiences with Vortex or broken them or whatever and say, no, you needed... Vortex is the only company that I've ever dealt with where the warranty was like overnight. As far as I called or I submitted a thing and said, hey, this broke. And within 3 days, I had the new item at my house with a box to ship the broken item back.
Oh,
I think Vortex's warranty is hands down the best in the business.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So that's why I went with Vortex for that. And then Triumph HD 850 rangefinder, $100. Up until this point, we're at $1,617. You didn't do pack or anything.
I didn't do a pack or anything because if they've already got camping gear and they've already got, you know, some of the stuff that people that just go outdoors has,
right,
that they're probably going to have a day pack or something. So I figured, I'm going to leave that one out. Plus, if I did, then I'd be over budget and I'd have to cheap out on a site or okay, something or use that whisker biscuit.
Well, hey, my dad has dragged a mule deer out of the Rubies with a trash bag. So
yeah,
you don't necessarily need... we won't go into why or, yeah, but yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
and was it a deer?
Yeah. But it can be done. I did include a pack. I went with the Eberle Stock Freefall 2000. It was the closest I could find to a pack I used to have. Is it a dedicated meat hauling thing? No, but it's big enough and it's got the side hip pouches that you could throw the rangefinder in there. So you don't even need the bino harness, and it's got enough space in there to throw whatever snackies, this, that, or the other thing,
rain gear, whatever.
Rain gear. You could take a mule deer elk would be pushing it, but you could take a mule deer quarter and throw it in there and just strap it and walk out with it.
Yeah.
So Eberle Stock Freefall 2000, $270. I added trekking poles because with a gun, there are your shooting sticks. There is your glassing post or whatever.
True.
I never go anywhere without trekking poles, period.
Yeah.
I glass off them. I shoot off them, the whole nine yards. Mountain Smith Rhyolite 6061s, $40.
So that was a good call, the trek, because I carry my poles all the time.
You got to splint a broken leg. You got to use a makeshift meat pole.
Yeah.
You got to dig out a tire on a side by.
You know,
I
whatever.
Use trekking
I
poles for everything.
I've always got them in my pack.
Yep. So there you go. $40, Mountain Smith Rhyolite 6061s. And then I added a Badlands 3-liter bladder for water, $35. That puts me at $1,962 miscellaneous. I added a knife and I added AquaPure iodine tabs. Knife, $1,284, which I used to have and have cleaned animals with.
Yeah.
$25. AquaPure iodine tabs are $10. Pop one of those in your bladder. It's not going to taste great, but you're not going to get beaver fever.
Right. Yeah. And that's one thing I didn't add. And I was just thinking about that when you were going through your list was, man, I did not add a kill kit.
One knife will get you.
I was going to say, it's going to end up like those two folks that I came across on the mountain with a Leatherman.
Yeah.
I'm going to send people out there like, hey, dummy.
What?
Now what do I do? I start dirt, sharpening a rock.
A Leatherman would have been a good call because you could do it with that. And then you got some other stuff. Knick-knack stuff. I didn't. It would have blown my budget. $1,284 was $25. The iodine tabs were $10. $1,997 for the grand total. You are going to blow the budget with tax and if you actually draw, which I didn't think about.
Yeah.
All right. We will discuss our $2,000 challenge coming up in the final segment. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry on this Easter Sunday. Hopefully all of you are out spending time with your family, finding eggs. You can always go back, go to the website, go to Apple Podcasts. You can re-listen to this after Easter Sunday. And again, apologies. I realize in hindsight, my He Is Risen joke about the goose was probably in poor taste given that it is Easter Sunday. So anyway, with that out of the way,
good story.
That out of the way, Dave, let's nitpick our $2,000 challenge.
Yes, let's, because that's definitely, while you were talking, I was like, oh,
there's this. I forgot about this.
Oh, and then there's that, and then there's this. It would be insanely difficult to actually get away with it for 2G.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, we didn't go like all the way down to like Walmart level purchasing stuff.
No. This is stuff I would hunt with. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So this was, you know, we both picked like middle of the range, not flagship stuff, not the stuff that is all glossy on the front pages of the Bowhunter magazine or the Rifleman magazine.
Right.
This is like their lower mid range equipment.
Yes.
And
stuff in my case that I absolutely trust. Yeah. You could go get a Bushnell, three to nine for
Kmart Tasco.
$100 for whatever. But when it comes to this stuff, it's like, man, this is something that SWFA scope, I would absolutely trust that to hold zero for an entire mountain hunt.
Yeah, no, I agree. I set mine up to like, this would be something I would take in the field today.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's why I didn't add that one particular bow, because it just wouldn't be good. You'd be upgrading way too fast, so you just wasted a bunch of money.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, $2,000 might have been a little bit shy of a budget. $2,500 when you start talking about, okay, we didn't mention like meat bags. You know?
No game bags.
We didn't mention game bags, which that's another $20 for a pack of those. We didn't mention really like a kill bag, like what you should have in a kill bag. You're going to need that if you're out hunting.
Yes.
I mean, that's why you're out there is to kill something.
I think $2,500, you could probably, if I look at the gaps, if we add in tax and tag on, like if you draw an elk tag with my list, you're over $2,000. And then.
You're probably like $2,200, $2,300.
Yep. So I would safely say, tax, tags, everything all said and done, you could probably do it for between $25 and $2,750. I think would be reasonable. Like, okay, I can do this and I can actually hunt, get something off the mountain, process it or quarter it on the mountain.
And this is stuff that it's not just going to be used that season. This is stuff you can use for a couple years until you're like, okay, I'm ready to go with a higher end lighter rifle or I want a variable scope. So I want to go to something else or a bow. I want to go to a flagship. You know, I want to go to the Elite Valor or something along those lines, you know, RX-10, Hoyt RX-10. Okay, but this, all of the gear we're talking about could get you through several years of whacking stuff.
100%. You just killed your antelope 2 years ago with a Howa 1500.
Yeah.
Until recently, that's all I used.
I love that gun. That 308 Howa 1500 I have, freaking love it.
If you're
love it.
If you're not like going steep and deep and you get to a point where you're like, man, I want to be cracking stuff at 600 yards because I spent 8 days packing into this godforsaken mountain range.
Yeah.
If you're just doing your typical Nevada, I'll say Nevada public land hunting thing, how a 1500 all day?
All day
every day.
And if I don't, like this year, I'm putting in for cow elk and illegal weapon.
And the Howa 1500 308.
308 will be on my shoulder. Because I've just got to get, I got to get a cow. Got to
get it, yeah.
Freaking animals. So, and that'll be that big party hunt that we're talking about. But
yep.
Few things that did come up while we were talking that I was like, oh man, we could have expanded this significantly.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And we were talking over the break, Dave, both you and I have been in situations where we made do.
Yes.
And it maybe wasn't ideal. You were talking about using like a t-shirt as a game bag.
Yeah, I did. I used a t-shirt. I also used my long johns because I had it all in my backpack. I shot a deer and I'm trying to figure out, I didn't have any game bags.
Right.
So I had a t-shirt. I had a thermal shirt, and then I had long johns in my backpack that I had taken off earlier because it had gotten warm, cold morning, gorgeous afternoon. So I just tied off the bottoms of my
long johns
and shoved meat inside the legs. So
that's perfect.
Yeah, that kind of, and that's how I got it off the mountain. I wrapped it or put it around my neck like a scarf.
And just rolled.
And just got off the mountain.
Yeah.
Because I forgot stuff. But yeah, you do. You make do. Your dad did trash bags
to
take
an
animal out. And sometimes stuff
happens.
You
got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. There's been times I've left my entire backpack with everything in it, you know, at the truck or the UTV.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to hike up to this ridge real quick.
Let me peek over in that next canyon. Yeah.
And you do it and you're like, oh my God, look at that dude. Okay, I'm going for it.
Yep.
And next thing you know, you're 2 miles away from everything and you end up shooting it. And now you're like, oh, I didn't think this through.
I got my bow.
You know, you start processing a deer with a broadhead blade.
Yeah. Oh, it can be done, but
that's what I did because I had to open it up.
No exaggeration.
To start getting
just sliced
it
with the broadhead. Yeah.
Yeah, just his belly so I can open it up, get some heat out of there.
Yep.
Dragged it into the shade, and then I boogered back to the ATV to get my backpack that I left on the back.
So those are not ideal situations.
Yeah.
And I think knowing what I know now and trying to learn over the years of like, oh man, this is what I screwed up. This is what I could do better. I looked at when I put together my list, I was like, literally, if I had everything on this list to include the iodine tabs and the 3-liter bladder, I could fill it up, throw an iodine tab in. I looked at mine as like, okay, short of what is on my body, everything on this list I could kill and get an animal out of the mountains with right now, today.
So let me pose a question to you. So here you are. You've got all that stuff that you're talking about there. You also have a little kill bag. You're ready to rock and roll.
I got a buck 284 knife.
Yeah, and you have a buck 284 knife. Which
that's all I need.
That's all you need. So all of a sudden, here you are. You're going into your second or third year of hunting. You still have all this cool stuff. You're like, man, I'm cool with this, but I do have a couple extra bucks in my pocket.
What would be
something that you would upgrade? What would be your first thing to upgrade? I know what my first thing would be to upgrade. What would you upgrade?
I think my first upgrade, Dave, well, the bummer about rifle hunting, right, is that the ammo's expendable.
Yes.
So the bummer is you could use your arrows for a handful of seasons and be just fine.
Yeah.
So as far as upgrading, I mean, I'd put the money back into more ammo and I'd practice. Probably everything looking at my list and say, and we're going like, okay, we're at 2,500 now. I've added game bags and a little kill kit. I think the first thing I would upgrade as a rifle hunter would probably be a variable powered scope. I think the 6x42, I mean, guys did it for years. Guys still do it. I don't think he'd have a problem with me saying it on the show. So I'll mention somebody. Killed an elk at like 500, 600 some odd yards with a fixed six and a 7 mag. Like, People do it all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a staple back in the day.
Yeah. So, if I really think like, okay, I would upgrade some, I think I'd go with a that Night Force SHV series, because they're one of the few variable power that actually pass the torture test. And you can find those on sale for about $800-ish.
Oh, okay.
A 3 to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be my first upgrade. What about you?
My first upgrade for Archer would be binoculars.
Okay. What did you go with on your list?
I went with the Vortec Crossfires.
How much are those? Are those their entry-level ones?
Yeah, I think those and the Diamondbacks are pretty darn close to each other. I think they were like $250, $225. So I'd upgrade my binoculars.
You'd go binos?
Yeah, I'd either look into some Leopolds or some Mavens or a higher end, like maybe the Vortec Razors.
Yeah,
and jump it up a bit.
I used those Vortec Ranger HD. I think they were 10 powers. I used those for 6-8 years or something. Yeah. I used those for a long time to the point where it wore off the finish where my thumb sat.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, the finish is gone from them. I used those for a long time. So
yeah, because with archery, you're behind glass for quite some time.
Yeah, that's a good
point,
Dave.
You're behind glass for quite some time. Either that or purchase a spotting scope.
A spotter?
But I think I'd upgrade my binos before a spotter.
It's not a bad call.
Just because you're going to be behind those a lot longer.
That's true. Very true.
And I'd probably still stay with a 12 power.
So yeah,
that'd be
12.
That'd be my first.
Well, yeah. I think, in that 12 power, if you jump up, you're talking now $600, $700, $800 bucks.
Yeah, $700.
$700?
$700, $800 would be your jump.
Yeah.
So, and then if you're an archer and you're around a bunch of archers going to 3D shoots and stuff, you're going to find some dude who has to have the latest and greatest every year.
EB.
That was exactly what I was thinking. And you can buy his last year's bow for half price. He'll be glad to sell you a flagship $2,000 bow for $1,000.
Bingo.
Yep.
Bingo. Hey, shout out, EB.
EB.
He is a granddad. Congratulations.
Congratulations, EB. He's got himself a granddaughter.
So that will do it for this weekend's episode. Happy Easter, everyone, and do not go anywhere. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk is coming up next.